I've really enjoyed preaching through the book of 1 John. Chapter 2 was certainly not the chapter I thought it was when I began studying the book and preparing to preach through the book. I never dreamed it would be preached in the light that I preached it. But I think we've just about come to a place now where the storm's passed over and the sun's shining. Amen. And I want to recap a little bit tonight by just way of reading and make a couple of statements in the introduction to what I'm preaching tonight, and hope it'll be a blessing. I want to begin reading for the sake of reading in the context and putting everything where it needs to be out of verse 29 of chapter number 2. And John said, if you know, let me move this up a little. John said, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that reading tonight. Brother Hall, pray, read our text verse, and try to bring the thought God's laid on our heart. Our Father, I'm thankful for the good song service tonight, the spirit of God's people, the joy I see, the happiness, Lord, the smiles, the good fellowship. I thank you for that. I pray you'll bless now the preaching of the Word of God and make me the blessing to them, Lord. They've already been to me. I pray you'll help me to glorify your wonderful name. I'd ask you, Lord, to fill me with the power of the Spirit of God. I ask you, Lord, may your power rest upon me. Fill me, Lord, with the Holy Ghost and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I pray you'd provide the liberty that's needed to preach. And may thy word have great effect upon the people. You said your word would not return unto you void, but that it would accomplish that which you send it forth to do. And I pray it would accomplish great things in the hearts of our people tonight. And Father, may souls come to Christ, and may your people find revival in their heart. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 2 again out of chapter 3 is where I'm going to be preaching from, where John said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And I want to preach on that thought, out really out of the whole verse, for a little while tonight on the thought of the privileges of sonship. The privileges that we have of being a son of God. We do have privileges that those that are without do not have. And only those that have been redeemed by the grace of God are afforded some of the privileges that God has for people in this world. Now, if you notice, verse number 2 is really a continuation of a thought that John began in chapter 2 and verse number 29. And that's why I began reading back there. If you'll notice in that verse, he makes the statement, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness, now notice this, is born of him. And then again in chapter 3 and verse number 1, he makes a statement, behold, which is a word of attention. He's trying to get our attention here. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. And so he talks about being born of him in chapter 2 and verse number 29. He talks about us being the sons of God in chapter 3 and verse number 1. And then again in chapter number 2, He makes a statement, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I think it's very obvious to me, I hope it is to you, that John is speaking to us here simply about the new birth, being born again, being a child of God, and being born again. About people who once were lost and now they're found. They were in darkness and now they're in light. They at one time were in death and now they're in life. And so he's speaking here about being born again. I can never preach about being born again without thinking of a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus.
Right.
And you'd think that if anybody knew anything about being born again and about the Word of God, it would be the Pharisees that lived the law to the very diligent letter. But here is a man of the Pharisees that comes to our Lord by night, no doubt of fear, probably peer pressure upon him. And he comes to the Lord by night, and it could be because he's a sinner. And all sinners come to the Lord by night, come to Him in darkness. He's never a sinner yet come to the Lord in light because they live in darkness. But Nicodemus come to the Lord in the night and made this statement to Him. He said, Master, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. And here is the reply of our Lord back to him. The Lord says in verse number 3 of John 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, that is Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So here's a man that ought to be knowledgeable in the Scriptures. Here's a man that ought to understand why Christ has come into the world. In fact, he ought to understand or know that Jesus is the Christ if he studied the Scriptures, just simply because where Christ came into the world from, and then was brought up out of Galilee here, and he should have known that from the Old Testament Scripture. But apparently was blind to that. He was blind, like sinners today. Sinners today that are lost and without God, they're blind, and they cannot see afar off. They're blind to sin. They're blind to Satan. They're blind to the Savior. They're blind to everything society around them. They're totally blinded. And the last time I looked up blind in Webster's, it was blind.
Amen.
Now, Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are blind.
Amen.
It is hid to them whom the God of this world hath blinded their eyes, lest they should see the glorious gospel of Christ. So the last time I looked up the word blind, it meant blind, that you cannot see. And certainly, they said here that you cannot see the kingdom of God. So therefore, he must have been blind. But Jesus said again in verse number 5, Nicodemus, that said in verse 4, how can these things be? How can a man enter into his mother's womb the second time and be born again? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. Now, he's bringing the rubber down on the road now. He says he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so a blind sinner cannot even see the kingdom of God. But unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's no way. You must be born again. Somebody asked B.R. Lakin why he preached so many times on you must be born again, and you know the answer to that. He said, because you must be born again. And I think that is a great truth that John is trying to convey to people, that you must be born again, and the fact that he's conveying to you and I that have been to Calvary, that we have been born again. He that knoweth, he that doeth righteousness is born of him. And then behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And then, beloved, John brings it right down on the road. Now are we the sons of God. Now let the Armenians put that in their corncob pipe and smoke it. He didn't say that we'll be Armenians when we get to heaven. He said, behold, we're sons of God now. Behold, now are we the sons of God. Now, there's four things in introductory thoughts that I want to use concerning the new birth. And then I'll bring the message God's laid on my heart for tonight. But I see in this verse the regeneration of the Spirit. He said, ye must be born again. And when I say born again, I'm talking about the quickening of man's spirit that died in Adam's transgression. Adam was made in the image and the likeness of God. That is, he was made, I know God is spirit, but if he's made in the image and likeness of God, he had to have a body. God give him a body, God give him a soul, and God gave him a spirit. But when Adam transgressed against the law of God, disobeyed God, that spirit in him died. That spirit died. That body and soul is still alive, but the spirit is dead. And regeneration is simply the quickening of the spirit in man that gives man the ability to fellowship with God and to know God. Brother Steve and I were talking about something in the office in there today, and we come across, we mentioned this portion of Scripture about fellowshipping with God. Adam fellowshipped with God in the cool of the day. But when he transgressed the law of God, he was cut off from God, put out of the garden, and that fellowship was broken. There was no more fellowship, and for it to be stored, you must be born again. That's why lost people today know nothing about God. They know nothing about the Bible, nothing about church, nothing about righteousness, nothing about holiness, because they have never been born again. Their spirit is dead, and their natural, and the natural man does not receive the things of God, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And the only way anybody ever understands anything about God is by being born again and having that spirit regenerated, being quickened from the dead. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 2, and ye who were dead in trespasses and sins, hath he quickened. He has made you alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible said in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness. Now you can take that and tell the Armenian friends I said that. It is not by works of righteousness. You know what the problem with Israel is? Paul said in Hebrews, and I believe chapter number 10, that here is where Israel stumbled. Going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. May I say, friend, that we have no righteousness of our own whatsoever until it is imputed into us when we're regenerated by the power of God. And people try to make themselves self-righteous in the eyes of God. They try to get good enough in the eyes of God to get saved, and they stumble there and miss the boat, because God did not come into the world to call the righteous, but God come to call sinners to repentance. Somebody say amen right there. You don't have to be good to go to heaven. You've got to be a sinner. Amen. And you're regenerated by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now stay right with me. There's another thing. Not only regeneration of the Spirit and a new birth, but the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He said there in Titus 3:5, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. This is a work of the Spirit of God that he does in the heart of man. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:6, somebody said, where are we renewed? I want you to stay right with me. He said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Thanks be unto God. The Holy Ghost is operating in our lives. And he's renewing us day by day. I looked that up in the Strong's Concordance, and I just about had a fit when I looked it up. The word renewing. What it means is to totally do over again. It means to totally refurbish. It means to make over completely in the same manner. And I've said this before. How would you ladies like to get up every morning to a remodeled house? How would you like to get up every morning and have new furniture? New wallpaper on the walls? new paneling on the walls. Go to bed at night, wake up the next morning, and it be done in another way. Over and over and over again. And that's the thought that the Lord is trying to convey to us there, is that the Spirit of God is working in us, renewing us day by day in the inward man. This old man is going to perish. You just might as well mark that down. If you don't, hey, take my word for it, the way my right leg and my feet feel tonight, I've got enough sense to know that this old man is on the way out. But praise God, there's a new man that's in, that's on the way in. Amen. And it's that new man that's on the way in that's going to be on the way up. Amen. And it'll be that new man that is on the way back. Amen. It'll be that new man that's on the way in again. So you'll catch a hold of that after a while, but slow pray. Hallelujah. Amen to God. That's right. By the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 4:23. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. You wouldn't have no question about that. Amen. Knowing the old man is corrupt. He is corrupt, ladies and gentlemen. The old man corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen. And so we're not only renewed in the inner man, but we're renewed in our mind. Amen. Now, I don't fully understand that. But God, the Holy Ghost, renews our mind. God gives us holy thoughts and spiritual thoughts. And I'm not saying there's never a bad thought there. There is. God knows our hearts. We think more evil thoughts than we'd really like to. But I'm telling you that God is working overtime, renewing the spirit of our mind. And giving us new thoughts over and over, helping us to stay our minds upon the Lord, helping us to keep our thoughts upon the Lord, helping us to keep our minds upon the Lord. The Lord knows that when our mind strays, ladies and gentlemen, our heart will stray right along with it. Amen. And when we have those evil thoughts and they're not corrected immediately, we're headed for trouble. But God renews that mind. Over and over by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And I want to say thirdly, Colossians 3:10. He said, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewed in what? Renewed in knowledge. When I was first saved, I was like Jumbo when he come from the old country. Was dumb like the cow. And I'm telling you, I don't know much right now. But I'm telling you, I know a little bit more now than I knew when I first got saved by the grace of God. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is renewing us in knowledge after the image of Him that created us. You realize that the text verse tonight says that when we see Him, that we're going to be like Him. That is because we have been renewed in our body. We have been renewed in our mind. We have been renewed in our inner man. We have been renewed in our knowledge. And we're going to be just like Him because we're going to see Him as He is. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Now, then I see number three, not only regeneration and renewing, he said, but I also see a resemblance to Christ. He said, we shall be like Him. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Won't that be wonderful? Won't that be wonderful to be like the Lord? I'm telling you, and it's more than just no more pain and no more sorrow. Being like Him is more than no more heartaches and no more disappointments. Amen. But you know what the single greatest thing is about being like Him? Is no more sin. Amen. No more sin! Yes. No more disappointment, no more times. I don't think God can be disappointed. But no more times of, if I use the word, disappointing God. No more disappointing ourselves. No more disappointing those around us.
No more sin allowed. Won't it be wonderful to never convey an evil thought, never think nothing bad about nobody else. Amen. Hallelujah. Never transgressing the law of God and being able, here it is, being able to walk in total obedience to that Bible. That's it right there. That is it right there. The Lord did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. And He did to the jot and tittle, ladies and gentlemen. He is the living Word of God. And if He's the living Word of God, and we're going to resemble Him, then we're going to have some understanding of that Bible taking place in our hearts. Amen. That's exactly right. Resemblance to Christ. Now notice, Paul said in Romans 6:5, for if we have been planted together in His likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Amen. When we see Him, we'll be like Him. For we'll see Him as He is. In the likeness of His resurrection. I know that's not very exciting to some of you, but it is to Brother Hall. I thank God for it. Amen. Do you know what kind of a body He got up out of the grave in? Yes, Mary Magdalene hung around that sepulcher. And when she saw Jesus, she thought He was a gardener. Well, in reality, He was. I've told you that before. But she thought He was a gardener. And she went to Him and asked Him, if you've laid Him hence, tell me where He's at and I'll go get Him. And He spoke to her, Mary, Mary. Hey, and it wasn't what He looked like that got her attention. It was what He said that got her attention. Amen. He had a body for Him that she had never seen before.
Right.
When He walked along the road with those two men going on the road to Emmaus.
Right.
And they were talking about what had happened in Jerusalem and taken place. And He walked along beside them and said, what manner of conversation is this that proceedeth out of your mouth? They began to tell Him, well, are you a stranger in these parts? Don't you know that Jesus of Nazareth, a great prophet, has been crucified? And this is the third day. The reason they said that is because they had told Him on the third day He'd get up. And they said, this is the third day. And He opened up the Scriptures and began to preach to them Christ through the Scriptures. Amen.
Yep.
I'm telling you, He had a body, ladies and gentlemen, that they could not recognize. Amen.
Right.
When He stepped into that upper room and spoke to them that Sunday after His resurrection, they had a body that they did not recognize. Now I'm telling you that we're going to have a body that's different from anything this body. Amen. When sin departs from this body, it is going to be like that glorious body of our Lord. Amen. No more sin allowed. Hallelujah. Better believe that's right. My God. Resemblance of His resurrection. Romans 8:29 said, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And we're going to be conformed. It's not a matter if you're saved, if you're going to be conformed. And I've preached this so many times. You're going to be. He'll see to it. Somebody said, what if I rebel? I wouldn't try that. You might be conformed sooner than you want.
Amen.
I'm telling you, He that hath begun a good work in you, He will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. You can write that down in your little black book and put a check mark by it, friend. That's right. Those that He did foreknow, them that He justified, He has predestinated them. I'm not talking about predestinated salvation, but them that are saved. He has predestinated them
right.
to be conformed to the image of Christ. And don't tell me He don't have the power to do that. I know better. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, you're going to be like Him. And look here. And it says, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Tells me we're not going to get there nearly as quickly as what some of us think we are.
Amen.
I wouldn't begin to look for wings sprouting out on anybody's shoulders anyways near soon. When we see Him, we'll be like Him. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I could see more spiritual growth and more spiritual conforming to Christ in other people than I can in my own life.
Yes, sir.
And I'd hope you can see more in me than you can in your life. It's something, hey, it's something that is just not easily detected. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And the reason of it is because what's being conformed is enveloped by a body. Enveloped by a body that is full of sin. This body is still as sinful as it ever was. But there's a new creature on the inside. Amen. That's renewed day by day. Amen to God. Yes, hallelujah. And it's that inward man on the inside that is being conformed to the image of Christ. And one of these days we'll roll out of this cocoon we've been living in, and we'll be one of the most beautiful butterflies you've ever laid your eyes on, friend. Hallelujah to God. You better believe. We may not be much now, but we're not what we're going to be either. Amen. Graduation day ain't got here yet. You wait till we walk across the platform. Hallelujah. Receive that degree of confirmation. Amen. That's right. Be a whole lot different, and we'll look a lot different then. Amen to God. How wonderful it'll be. That's right. Beloved, now, not tomorrow. Now are you the sons of God. Amen. You can tell the Methodists and the General Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Episcopalians and the whole crew that I said, the Bible said, now are you the sons of God. Not when we get to heaven. Right now we're the sons of God. Amen. Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing. Now I see one more thing, and I'll bring three little thoughts and we'll go home. I see the return of the Lord. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, He's coming again. What was it Leroy said in the office? Somebody said, I wish Jesus had come tonight. Leroy said, He'll come when He gets ready. He will, won't He, Leroy?
Amen.
No man knows the hour nor the day.
Right.
We can tell the signs of the times, and I can tell you by the signs of the times that day is drawing near, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Now, I don't know when He's going to appear, but I know that He's going to appear. You know He's going to appear twice. But which time is He talking about that we're going to be like Him? He's going to appear in the clouds first. And then He's going to appear and every eye shall see Him. Amen. Those that pierced Him will look upon Him. They've been dead and in the grave for years, but they're going to see Him when He comes back on that white horse, ladies and gentlemen. 7 years after He comes in the clouds, He's coming again on a white horse, and every eye will behold Him. Even those that pierce Him will behold Him when He comes back. So I don't believe, and by the way, we've already been in heaven 7 years, been at the marriage supper of the Lamb, been through the judgment seat. God help us. Amen. Been through the judgment seat and mounted a white horse and coming again. So I don't believe He's talking about the revelation. And there's a difference between the return in the clouds and the revelation. Revelations, whenever I'll behold Him. And when He comes in the clouds, He's only going to appear to us. Lost crowd won't know nothing about it. I love Brother Mays Jackson. God rest him. Seriously, I love him. He's a saved man. But he put out that preaching tape on all these calamities when the rapture takes place. Cars will be a wrecking. Ambulances, hospitals will be in a total chaos. I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe there's that many of us hanging around. It don't make much difference.
Amen.
I'm serious. I'm like Brother Nolan. Somebody said, Brother Nolan said, don't believe many people are going to be saved. Neither do I.
Amen.
I'm on. Well, amen. I'm on that. It's what I said a while ago. He that doeth righteousness, we know that he's born of God. Now you mark it down. If you're not living a righteous life, you have never been to Calvary. I don't care who you are. If you buck the preacher, if you buck the Word of God, if you buck the church, if you buck everything that's going on, you have never been to Calvary. Amen. Saved people love the church. Saved people love Christ. Saved people love the house of God. Amen. They love the Bible. They love preaching. They love worship. They love singing. They love to come to the house of God. Amen. He that doeth righteousness is born of God. Amen. Now, listen what he says in Acts 1:10-11. And while they looked, that is the disciples, steadfastly, they wasn't taking their eyes off of him. When he lifted up in this earth, they wouldn't take their eyes off of him till a cloud received them out of his sight.
Amen.
Out of their sight. They watched him for the last minute. They must have seen something in him that most of us have never been able to see yet.
Amen.
Can you imagine the altogether lovely one ascending to heaven? And 11 little disciples standing out there on the Mount of Olives watching him as he goes up. Nobody else around. What a privilege. What a blessing. Amen. They had spent 3.5 years with him. They had watched him open the eyes of the blind. They had watched him unstop the ears of the deaf. They had watched him cleanse the lepers. They had watched him raise the dead. And there he goes, and they're intently, steadfastly, they're locked in on him. Till he's caught up out of their sight, and suddenly there's 2 men in white apparel standing there.
Amen.
They look at those men and said, "Ye men of Galilee." And I think they're kind of putting the 2 men away like this. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? You act like, in other words, they're saying, you act like he's gone forever. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus.
Amen.
That you've seen taken up.
Yes.
Shall so come.
Yes.
In like manner.
Yes, sir.
As you've seen him go away.
Yes.
He's going to return.
Yes.
I'm telling you, old Arthur Pink, and you can like him or lump him. Dumb don't make no difference to me. I like him. Amen. I don't have him on this, what I did right now. I did on the first part of it, on the first 3 chapters, on the first 2 chapters. But not now. He died right in the chapter. He died after he wrote the first verse of chapter number 3. Never got the rest of it done. But he wrote a book called The Redeemer's Return. Now I'm telling you, our Redeemer's going to return, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
He's coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon. Maybe evening, maybe soon. I don't know when, but I know he's coming again. Because I just read it in the Bible, and I'm a Bible believer. Christ is coming again. Why stand you gazing up into heaven? Get about your Father's business. This same Jesus that was taken up. Hey, by the way, he's coming back just like you've seen him go. And they saw him go in clouds. He's coming back in the clouds. And he's not going to touch this earth when he comes back for us.
Amen.
And that's when we're going to see him as he is.
Amen.
Now notice, this is when our corruptible bodies will put on incorruption.
Amen.
At that time, the resurrection will take place of the just, which is the first resurrection.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Yes,
they that take part in the first resurrection shall have no fear. Of the second resurrection. No fear of death. Oh, hallelujah to God. That's right. That corruption is going to... Remember I was telling you a while ago? This old outward man is corrupt. The inward man is being renewed. But John said, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, that this corruption shall put on incorruption. That tells me that is when, right then, boy, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Amen. And this body of corruption shall be changed and made like His glorious body. Then we'll think like Him. Because we're renewed in mind. We'll commune with Him because we're renewed in spirit. We'll touch Him because we've got the same body structures. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful day that's going to be. May I say also that this mortal will put on immortality. I am a mortal. This clay of mine is mortal, but what's on the inside is immortal. And this mortal will put on immortality.
Yes.
Then you know what's coming next. And death! Whoa! And death! I wish I was a black preacher, I'd hum a while. And death shall be swallowed up in victory. Yes. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now, beloved, now are ye the sons of God. I've got just a few minutes here. Three little thoughts, and I've been around these all my life here, and they won't be anything new to you. And I'm going to tell you what kind of rights. He said, Beloved, now are you the sons of God. What kind of rights do you think we ought to have as a son of God? What kind of rights do your children have at your house that they may not have at my house?
Amen.
May I say that we'll have that right now, as sons of God, we have throne room rights. Lost men have no right. You know why? Because it's a blood-sprinkled way. It's been consecrated by the blood of Christ behind the veil. And a lost man knows nothing about the blood of Christ. Nothing about the throne of grace. Nothing about an altar. Nothing about prayer. Nothing about God. It's a privilege only to the redeemed. We can enter into our Father's throne room of grace and there pray and converse with Him. Now listen very carefully to what I'm getting ready to tell you. I love this, and I've never seen this verse. I was trying to prepare for this message. I don't believe I've ever preached out of this verse. But Psalms 26:6, He said, I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Man, I tried to get a hold of that. And I thought, here's David that's done cleansed himself. He's washed his hands. And he's got throne room rights. But that altar, there's something about it. It's so marvelous. It's a place of consecration. It's a holy place. I don't think that we got a hold of how holy the prayer altars are in our churches. Man across town, I heard him say, and we hadn't thrown the cassette away, we still got it. He said he's been in a lot of churches, seen a lot of altars, and he wished he'd throw them all out of every church, didn't need them. It's funny, they're all through the Bible.
Amen.
They're all through the Bible. But here's what it said. Here's what David said about that altar. He said, there's something about it. He said, I'm going to compass that altar about. He's looking at it. He's investigating that altar. He's looking into the deep, holy things of that altar. He wants to know what that altar can do for him in his life. You want to know what that altar can do for you in your life? I'll tell you, it can revolutionize your life. It can change your life. Every saved person ought to have an altar.
Yeah.
Oh, a holy place. Dedicated.
Man.
Wouldn't hurt to take your shoes off when you approach it. Because you're on holy ground.
Amen.
Encompass that altar about and take a look at it. It was on the altar that the sacrifice was made. Ought to get on that altar and thank Him for the sacrifice.
Yeah.
It was on that altar that the blood was first offered. God, the high priest, we ought to thank Him for that blood. It was on that altar that the sin offering was made. It was on that altar that the trespass offering was made. It was on that altar that the peace offering was made. And I'm telling you, we ought to compass about it. And behold, how glorious it is. And every man and woman in here that's saved ought to have an altar, ladies and gentlemen. And compass that altar. And behold the beauty of that altar. The glory of that altar. Listen very carefully. Revelation 8:3, the Bible said, and another angel came, and stood at the altar. An angel?
Amen.
An altar in heaven? Having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense. Not a little bit, but a lot.
Amen.
That he should offer it with the prayers of the saints. Upon the golden altar. Altogether difference there.
Yep.
That's the altar of deity. That's God's holy altar in heaven. That my Bible tells me that that's where our prayers are.
Yep.
They're on that golden altar.
Yep.
They're on God's altar.
Yep.
Amen. They're in heaven, ladies and gentlemen. Your prayers are not wasted. If God puts our tears in a bottle, surely He preserves our prayers on the altar that they've been prayed upon. I'm trying to convince you we need to pray more and get a hold of God more. And realize when you pray, your prayers are not just prayed on an altar here, but they're laid upon a golden altar in heaven.
Amen.
And guess where that golden altar's at? Which was before the throne.
Woo!
Yeah, throne room rights.
Yeah,
on a golden altar. God's altar. Now stay right with me. And it said in verse 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire off the altar. Have you put any fire on that altar lately? Or are you praying now to lay me down to sleep? The fire on that altar. It's got to be the fiery prayers of the saints of God. The Bible said about Elijah that he prayed fervently.
Amen.
That word means they come to a boiling point. Yes. For you to boil, there's got to be a little heat.
Yes.
Have a little heat, there's got to be a little fire.
Yes.
I guarantee you, some of us ain't praying at all, much less praying with fire.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You got any fire on that altar? And I mean, hey, to put fire on order, you don't have to get down and be like the Pharisees. Oh! Oh, God, oh! Ain't nothing wrong with crying out. But there's nothing wrong with crying. You'll get a hold of that after a while. You can pray fervently in your heart. Without uttering one word. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Hannah did.
Amen.
You don't have to utter a word. God looks on the heart. He doesn't listen to the words we got to say, ladies and gentlemen. He looks on the condition of the heart.
Amen.
Not in much speaking. Most prayers that's prayed out in public today, they're prayed for men's praise. Now I'm going to tell you what that book said. Jesus said, behold, you got your reward.
Amen.
There ain't nothing wrong with praying and crying out. Sometimes I've done both. I prayed over there this morning tonight. Miss Hall was right in the bathroom tonight. I guarantee she didn't even know I was praying. But I wasn't crying. Whoa! But I was crying. I was praying for you, me, and our church.
Amen.
For God to come into our midst and revive us again.
Amen.
Stir us again, oh God.
Amen.
Now, listen to what it says in verse number 5. The angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar. And he cast it into the earth. And there were voices. I don't know who made those voices.
There were thundering. There were lightning. When our prayers that were offered from the earth was taken off the golden altar and was cast back into the earth, son, things picked up. That's exactly what it's saying there. I wrote in little words, there was some earth shaking praying going on. Now I'm telling you, prayers mean something to God. If they're preserved up there, and they're going to be taken off that golden altar and cast back into the earth, God have mercy on a wicked earth. When our prayers hit this earth, there'll be voices, there'll be thunders, there'll be earthquakes from the prayers of God's people, buddy. Now I'm going to tell you, the inhabitants of the earth is going to know that God's got a people that's a praying people.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Now notice, not only do we have throne room rights, but we got table rights.
Yes,
thank God I can put my feet, put your feet. Don't ever run feet up on this mountain. But I thought of table rights. I thought of Mephibosheth.
Yes, sir.
Little old Mephibosheth, crippled on both feet, living down in the land of Lodibar, the land of no bread.
Yes.
David asked his servant Ziba, said, "Is there any left of the household of Saul that I might bless for Jonathan's sake?" He said, "There's a crippled man down there," but said, "You wouldn't want nothing to do with him." Said he lives down in Lodibar. He's crippled on both feet. Lodibar is in the land of no bread and is crippled on both feet. What use is he to a king? And here's David's very words. Fetch him!
Yes.
Go get him! When Mephibosheth come in, he fell down before David full of fear.
Right.
And here's what David said to him. David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's son's sake."
Amen.
Woo! I'm going to tell you, God has already shown us kindness for Jesus,
amen,
the Son of the Father. Hallelujah to God. You better believe that's right. Amen. That's right.
Thank
God. It's all because of Jesus.
Amen.
The grace that God's given, the reason we're here tonight, the fact God's allowed us to be saved and allowed us to be children of God and allowed us to come to church is all because of Jesus and what He's done for us. Amen. That's right. And He went on to say, "And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat at my table continually."
Amen.
And there's a crippled man on both feet eating at a king's table. I've often wondered how he could be a picture of a saved man. When God saves people, He healed those cripples and one thing another. I thought, how can that be a picture of a saved man? It's not necessarily talking about in heaven, because He's certainly not going to have any crippled feet in heaven. But I'm going to tell you what it's talking about. It's talking about people like you and I today. Ladies and gentlemen, old sinners saved by the grace of God. We're not all that we ought to be.
Amen.
We can die. We can come to the church and put our crippled feet under the table out of sight.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm telling you, God's servants will serve us. Oh, you don't understand that. You cannot get that. It's too much for you. I know this. But God's got heavenly, holy servants that serve us in our hearts. As we come to the house of God, the Holy Ghost is one of them that takes the Word of God and moves it on our heart and applies it to our heart that we might understand the Bible and dine from the table of the King. And we can do that continually.
Amen.
What a great God. According to Psalm 78:19, He prepares a table in the wilderness. According to Psalm 23:5, He prepares a table in the presence of our enemies.
Amen.
Some of you come in here tonight, your enemies followed you in the back front door. That very thing that you're fighting in life, that very trial, that heartache, that trouble, that problem, it followed you in the door.
Somebody said, how do you know? Because my mind follows me. And I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, I've had a good time tonight. And God has prepared a table for me. Right here in the presence of those enemies that travel on behind me. Come right on in the building where I was at. And all the time saying, you know you ain't going to preach nothing tonight. God don't love you. You're washed up. The church don't love you. They're washed up. God don't even love them. I said, get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
Thou savorest not the things that be of God.
Amen.
I know better. And his voice come back. How do you know? And I echoed back to him. I've read the Bible.
Amen.
I'm smart enough to know John 3:16.
Hey.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
You tell the devil, go on back to his house. He's going there one of these days. He's
Amen.
Going to a lake of fire. It's where he belongs.
Amen.
You know something? I called him a rascal and everything else. And I was listening to Dr. Seidler on Saturday preaching. Dr. Seidler used the word rascal. And he came and he started to say, and he said, I'm not going to use that word again. It's kind of a bad word. And I don't want I said, Doc, what's bad about the rascal? I said, Lord, I don't seem that rascal. I don't seem to be a cuss word. It was everybody that was raised up. My generation cussed the little rascals every day. But he wouldn't use it again. And we got men today that literally curse in the pulpit. And there's an old man of God brought up in the old school that wouldn't even use the word rascal. Slipped out once and asked the church to forgive him for it. Said he wouldn't use it again. We're a long way, folks.
Yes, sir.
May God take mercy.
Amen.
And send a revival of holiness.
Yes.
A revival of purification.
Amen.
A revival of fire that will purge the dross.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
He not only prepares a table in the wilderness, prepares a table for enemies, but he prepares a table in the desert, Luke 9:12. That's a great God. He prepares a table. We have table right. Whether we're in the wilderness, whether our enemies are compassing us round about, whether we're out in the desert, God can still spread a table.
Yeah.
Can God spread a table in the wilderness? God can. You know that and I know that. And I want to say in closing, we got temple rights. Psalms 122:1. David said, I was glad. My soul was thrilled when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to tell you, lost people can come in here. They can come in here. But I'm going to tell you something. They can't worship.
Amen.
They can sit in the pew and put on a dog. But they can't worship God.
Amen.
They can't praise Him.
Amen.
They might make a lot of noise. They can't praise Him from the heart. They can't fellowship with Him. In fact, they can't even fellowship with us.
Right.
What fellowship has light with darkness?
Amen.
You might put on a dog. And I'm telling you, you can't worship God, and you can't praise God, and you can't fellowship with God, and you can't fellowship with the brotherhood unless you're a son of God in heaven. Privileges of sonship. You can come to the church and get help rights. You can find help in the house of God. Psalmist said so in Psalm 73, I believe it was. You can find help. We got hope rights. I put $990 in the Egg Junior today out of my pocket. Go to Mexico again. Tires, brakes, tie rods, everything. I don't know. I didn't know all that stuff was wrong with it. $990.89. And I walked in Brother Dennis Spicer's place. Some of you don't know this. Dennis goes to Maranatha. And I'm not saying this to be disrespectful. But Brother Van Smite, he's friendly to me and cordial to me. But we're not going G-Haul together on a lot of things. But Dennis Spicer's a member over there. And ever since I've been pastoring this church, he has supported this church financially every month. Every month. And I walked in that place and Dennis came out there and said, "Well, it's ready. But I hate to show you the bill." I said, "Well, it'll be all right." And I hadn't talked for 2 seconds to some man said, "It's good to put a face with a voice." He said, "You're Brother Hall, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I've been listening to you for years." We talked a little while, and I said, "Well, how's things going?" He said, "Kind of rough right now." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "They diagnosed my wife with cancer on April the 2nd. And I said, "I'm sorry to hear that." He said, "That's not the end of the story. She died on April the 19th. And I said, "Sir, I'm awful sorry to hear that." I said, "I've been married 41 years, and I don't know how I would respond to that. I don't know how I'd get by without my wife. I mean that. I'm not just saying it because it's here. I mean that." And that man said, "Well, there's one thing." He said, "I've got a hope."
Amen.
He said, "I've got a hope. And I know she's in a much better place." I said, "That don't take away the hurt. That helps. When you got hope of a loved one in a grave, it helps. When you lower them down and know they've been to Calvary, it helps." We've got hope, right, church, that a lost man don't have. And I want to say this. We've got healthy rights. Somebody said, "You're crazy as a bee." No. Is any among you sick? We never practice it. Now, I don't know why we don't. I think we're afraid we'd be called Pentecostals. But the Bible is plain. For any among you sick, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint with oil and probe and the prayer of the righteous. And confessing your faults one to another. And that prayer of the righteous will save the sick. And his sins will be forgiven. If he's committed any sins, his sins will be forgiven. But we never practice that.
Amen.
But it's in the book.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's Bible.
Amen.
And we don't believe it. It's there and we have practiced it before, but I'm telling you, we don't believe it. Did he not say when he brought Israel up, if they would walk in his ways, that he would cause none of these diseases to come upon thee,
right,
to come upon Egypt?
Amen.
Better believe that's right. Now, I'm not saying we're going to stay as healthy as a bear all of our life, because something is going to kill us.
Amen.
Now, Uncle Herman, he honestly eat a half pound of bacon every day. I say this today that something's going to kill us. And I was down there one day, I said, "Uncle Herman," I said, "how much that bacon you eat?" He said, "I eat a half pound a day." I said, "Is that kind of hard on you?" He said, "Well," he said, "I like it, so I'm going to eat it." And he said, "The doctor told me a while back if I didn't stop eating it, that they'd kill me." And it killed him. He died in a nursing home of 94 years old. So something's going to get us.
Amen.
It might be bacon. I don't know. What a way to go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But something is going to get us. And this body is going to give way to death.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, there are times when God does desire to heal. And we let those times slip by out of our fingers so many times. Because we don't believe the book.
Right.
And we don't believe in temple rights.
Amen.
Let's stand together.